C plus 28. GSC Headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina. William Godfrey stood speechless and alone in his cavernous office. The mood following the terrible events in Colorado Springs was one of utter dejection. Without doubt, the somber scenes throughout the GSC's headquarters were far worse in Godfrey's eyes than the chaotic mania of other recent times. An assassination attempt on Timo Fiori was a direct attack on humanity's hopes and plans for survival. And if the worst of the unconfirmed rumors about Timo's condition were true, the attack was likely to prove a fatal blow to the world's already slim survival prospects. Even more so than within the GSC, the managerial structures at Fiori Frontieri and Timo's other businesses were built around one man. As well as acting as a figurehead for his staff to rally around, Timo had been known to provide near dictatorial guidance whenever he saw fit, and all personnel within his organizations were very accustomed to working under such oversight. Another concern for Godfrey was the admittedly coarse but unavoidable financial question. If Timo was gone, who would decide which of his projects would receive sufficient funding to continue and thrive? With no children or siblings and no public declarations regarding how his fortune would be handled when he was no longer around to pull the strings, Timo's death would have posed extreme challenges for any kind of project he was heavily involved in at the time. But when the safety of Earth quite possibly hung on one of the projects in question, these difficulties were amplified exponentially. Only making matters worse, Godfrey had already heard reporters using the attack as proof that society's inevitable descent into lawless disorder was already past the point of no return. "We now live in a world where not even Timo Fiori is safe," one reporter put it. "A world where law enforcement and private security can't even protect the wealthiest man on Earth." This was a worthwhile point, Godfrey reluctantly conceded. The possibly fatal attack on Timo, which Godfrey was less upset to learn had perhaps claimed Emma Ford as collateral damage, undeniably did show the public that the world was already unsafe because of the approaching comet. This was no surprise to anyone, but such a brazen and costly attack had more impact on the average psyche than did scenes of general chaos and looting. "And if they knew just how much we were counting on him," Godfrey thought to himself, "if they knew just how paltry our member states' proposals at the summit really were, and if they knew that some of the tech Timo's teams have been working on really is the only hope we have." And that was the primary point, as Godfrey saw it. Quite simply, Timo could no longer help. This was the point weighing on his mind, and this was the point he feared would drive everyday citizens into nihilistic hopelessness. Many members of the public had tuned in to Timo's press conference in the hope that he was going to present a major breakthrough. Timo and Emma had quietly told Godfrey that this wasn't really the case, and that they were instead going to exaggerate the novelty of one much-discussed but previously unpublicized plan for defending Earth against the comet. This plan involved the repurposing of what would otherwise have become RS-1, transforming it into a craft capable of trying to deflect the comet using the cannonball method of bombarding it with kinetic impactors, a method Timo's staff had been exploring since long before Il Diavolo emerged as a specific and imminent threat. Research Station 1, known as RS-1, and the GSC's first flagship project since DS-1, was essentially ready to launch. The usual lengthy testing and safety procedures could be cast aside, and, through necessity, would be cast aside. The difficulty would come in the repurposing, and the real difficulty would come in the timing and scale of the bombardment. The one big positive was that the GSC had already developed a rocket booster capable of launching something far heavier than RS-1, which meant that there was plenty of wiggle room to make the necessary amendments, particularly once RS-1 was stripped of the equipment and life support systems, which would be wholly unnecessary for an unmanned one-way trip towards the comet. But without the direct input from Timo they were used to, let alone the colossal funding he provided, Godfrey didn't know how effectively Timo's planetary defense team would be able to act upon the research and planning they had been quietly conducting for so long. Very suddenly, the TV in Godfrey's office then flashed red before the screen was filled with a bullet point breakdown of potential suspects and motives for the attack. The absence of a visible suspect or culprit, although tremendously frustrating, was at least peculiarly beneficial in that it prevented the media from dividing along tribal and partisan lines based on which narratives the attacker's profile fitted best. Thus far, the entire media had remained united in horror and despair. There was anger, for sure, and it was aimed largely at the bizarre group who called themselves Welcomers and had recently attempted to carry out attacks at GSC sites around the world. Although the Welcomers were almost universally described as terrorists, saboteurs would have been a more accurate term, since their goal was not to spread fear but rather to directly prevent the successful development of any earth-saving defensive measures. Not for one second did Godfrey believe that John Cole and Jack Neal might have played a part in what happened, despite a handful of commentators semi-seriously floating the idea. The notion that they may indeed have been involved grew arms and legs within an hour or so of the attack, to the extent that the speculation ultimately prompted Godfrey to issue a video statement urging calm. He also took the opportunity to assure the world's citizenry that humanity was stronger than the soulless scoundrels and bottom-feeding scumsuckers who call themselves Welcomers could ever understand. Somewhat extending beyond his jurisdiction, Godfrey then promised to respond to the attack with unprecedented force. This statement didn't mean all that much in real terms, but Godfrey had been around for long enough to know that it was what people needed to hear. The GSC's inaugural chairman concluded his brief video statement with another few lines he knew that people both wanted and needed to hear.
"We owe a lot to both Timo Fiori and Emma Ford, and all I can say regarding their individual situations is that they are in the hands of the finest medical experts in the world. And thanks to the planetary defense research that Timo's staff have been quietly conducting for several years, the fate of our planet remains in our own hands. It would be inappropriate for me to get into specifics at this difficult and trying time, but rest assured that nothing is on hold, and that everything Timo is going to announce today will be announced in due course. Until then, and I know this is easier said than done, what we all need to do, fellow citizens, is keep calm and carry on."
10 minutes after issuing this statement, Godfrey remained alone in his office. His words had gone down well, and while no one could be described as anything close to calm, the general tone of the media's discussions was certainly less frenzied than it had been before he spoke. But whatever his words did for everyone else, they did little for Godfrey. For however convincingly he could lie to the world about humanity's chances of survival, he couldn't lie to himself.